Sing all three verses.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with His word, and then pronounced them good. Upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes Thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from Thy throne. While all that borrows life from Thee is
God that is mightier than, greater than anything we can imagine. And certainly you ought to be here today with our whole heart to worship Him, to give Him glory. As you look around, we're of course getting geared up and ready for Missions Conference, and trust that God is going to enter in and bless and deal with us at Metropolitan Baptist Church in a very special way in these days. And so please be in prayer, and we'll be talking more about that as we go along today. But as I look around this auditorium, I see several visitors in our midst, and we're sure grateful that God has brought you our way. Trust that God will bless in a very special way. And indeed, you've already been a blessing to us. But we're going to take a couple minutes, just welcome each other. Please, church family, you get around to these visitors and shake their hand. Amen.
It is good to see all of you here today. If you would, turn your handbook again to page 508. 508. Sing with me.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, Lord Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, poor sinners bleeding, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
On the third,
oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and weary, poor sinners bleeding, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
You can be seated.
Thank you.
Please stand once more. Let's turn to page 109. We'll sing the first and last verse.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Amen. You can be seated.
Gentlemen, as you'll take your places and get ready to receive this morning's offering, go over a few announcements here. You've got a ladies' fellowship. It's going to be this Tuesday in the pastor's class at 7 o'clock. This Saturday, the youth is going to be going to a youth rally down in Cleburne. And usually by now, we've already gone to two or three of them this year. For some reason, they've been few and far between. So we're excited about this one. This is going to be a good one. They always put on a good youth conference down there for us to attend. But folks, this is just going to be a little break for the middle of our missions conference coming up. I'm excited about this. You look around, we're putting on the dog a little bit here. But go around and read some of the signs. We found some new signs this year to put up, some information about the different countries and everything. Very informative. Lord, and be in prayer about what the Lord wants you to do. Not just financially. Well, yeah, that could be something that every one of us can do. That's the least of it. But what the Lord would have you to do. Be sensitive to that call. Let's see, we got a baby shower coming up on November 9th. Let's see, we need a little help in Sunday school. We need a few nursery workers to see Miss Alicia a little about that. And if you need to, we'll get you a hard hat and knee pads and steel-toe boots. That'll be enough for that right there. We got a new prayer letter. The Fafawinas have a prayer letter in back. And the College and Careers planning to go on their a ski trip. And if any questions about possibly maybe, help us with a little sponsorship on that, see Brother Andrew Martin. And pray for the Martins. Andrew Wilson, excuse me. Thank you. Pray for the Wilsons. They're going to be traveling back today. They have had a nice family vacation, so pray for their safety on the way back. So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, right now we're asking to be at the offering about to receive and be at the gift and the giver. Asking to be with Brother Bruce as he comes here in just a little bit. Lord, just hiding behind the cross, you give him the word you want him to say. I know it sounds like we say that all the time, but that's what we truly want. Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive it. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
Before our special comes this morning, I did want to mention that we've had several family members of from our church family go home to be with the Lord this week. So please be in prayer for these ones. Marvin Abernathy's uncle passed away in Missouri, and Dava McMullen's uncle, Larry Walker, that we've been praying for, passed away this week. And Curtis's grandfather passed away Friday. And so please pray for those ones. And then also Charles Johnson passed away Friday. He and Curtis's grandfather passed away probably within an hour or so of each other on Friday. And Curtis's grandfather's funeral is tomorrow at Laurel Land at 12:30. But then Charles Johnson's you can pay your respects with the family tomorrow evening at 6 to 8. Just if that's correct, sister, is that correct, Nancy? 6 to 8 at Bigger's Funeral Home, and then the funeral will be Tuesday at 2:30 at Bigger's. So please, please be mindful of all that. Pray for those precious families. At these ones that have gone on to be with the Lord. Amen. Brother John.
Please pray for me as I sing Little Is Much.
In the harvest field now ripened, there is a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go, if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen. Super. Thank you, Brother John. Amen. Well, as we said, there's some special things going on right now at Metropolitan Baptist Church. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been trying to make sure you two have a schedule of what's going to be going on through this week. Of course, this Sunday, we're trying to kick things off, get our minds wrapped around missions and all that. And you know, after all the music and so forth, I'm ready to go. But because I want you to be thinking missions, and because we have such tremendous men that we send and sponsor out of our church. I wanted you to hear from them today as well. And so we have the privilege of having missionary Bruce Martin to preach for us this morning. And, you know, I consider it a great honor to be the Martin's pastor, the Gaudet's pastor, the Fafawina's pastor, the Hudson's. You know, these folks are here and there about the world representing us, again, directly out of the membership and sponsorship of Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's a great honor. In fact, David is even this morning in San Antonio with his grandfather, Milton Martin. I had the privilege of being his pastor for 8 years as well. So, Martin's, either I put up with them for a good while or they put up with me, but it's mutual. So, also, I wanted to make you aware that on the table in the foyer, there's our new missions directory for the coming year. And we put it out there today. I want you to make yourself available to that or get one of those. And much of how we operate and finance our missions program here is explained there in that directory. So I want you to have that and be able to read it and pray through it. Plus, there's information about our missionaries out of our church, but also the 60-some other missionaries that we are part of their ministries in different parts of the world as well. So get one of those. There's one for, one for each family. And if there's need for more, we can certainly get more made as well. Well, we have the privilege of Brother Bruce preaching for us this morning. I'm excited about that. Brother Tom will preach this evening and has some things that the Lord has laid on his heart as well. And please, please be in prayer through the week. A dear friend of mine will be coming in Wednesday to preach, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then again Sunday morning. Evangelist Randy Bain from North Carolina, he has a tremendous heart for missions. He's been all over this world representing or taking the gospel and helping, working with missionaries. And I've been a couple of those places with him through the years. And so please, please be in prayer for him and our other missionaries as they come. Bruce, come and preach for us.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. As a missionary out of this church, this is one of the most important weeks for us of the entire year. And it should be for every member of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Sometimes, and I, as I travel around the world, not only here in the United States, visiting many churches, but also other parts of the world, when we get to the aspect of emphasizing missions, a lot of people say, oh no, not again. They're trying to reach into our pocketbook. And what I would like to get across to you today is the goal that we have is not so much how much you are giving from your pocketbook to missions, but how much are you giving of yourself to serving God? Because that's really the key thing. If you give yourself, everything else goes along with it. And that's where it really starts. And we have had a lot of new members. We have a lot of visitors here with us. And one of the goals we would like to have is if you're not a member, we want you to get excited about what we do here and become a part of Metropolitan Baptist Church. If you are a member, I think you need to realize that you have responsibilities. You've got things that God expects you to do because you're a member of this church. And that's what we want to get across to you during this next week as we are looking at things. Now, a lot of you might not know all about me. I know we have a lot of visitors here. But I've been a missionary sent out by Metropolitan Baptist Church now for almost 35 years. Next year, in about 6 months, I'll hit my 35th anniversary as a missionary out of Metropolitan Baptist. For some of you, it might seem like it hasn't been that long. Others, you might say, well, this has been a long ordeal because you've had to put up with me with a lot of different projects, a lot of different things over the years. We've been in Mexico, we've been in Honduras, and now we've been working all over Latin America now for the last 11 years. But God has allowed us to do a lot of things in the name of Metropolitan Baptist Church. There's a lot of churches in Latin America that are the result of this church. I can start going across a lot of different places, and it's not just now, it's going to be in the future too. That's our goal, is that we were reproducing ourselves. You know, a lot of times we think having a large family in our society today is not such a good thing. But I think a church should have as large of a family as it can have, as many children as she can get. Because that's the purpose of the existence of a church, is reproducing itself. And that's one of the things I want to be getting into today in a lot of detail. Now, I am a fourth generation Baptist preacher. My great grandfather was a Baptist preacher here in Texas. My grandfather was not a pastor, but he was very much involved in his church. He was a deacon and then a lay preacher. My father, as he mentioned, Brother Milton Martin, has been a missionary already now for 50 years. I was 4 years old when my family moved to Mexico as missionaries. So I grew up on the mission field. It's all I've ever known. After I went to college and met my wife, we got married. Within a few months after our marriage, we joined Metropolitan Baptist. And then within about 6 months after that, they commissioned us to be missionaries out of this church. So I consider it a privilege to be representing this church now longer than any of the other preachers in this church in a way. I've been here a long time. Either I'm a glutton for punishment or you are a glutton for punishment. I don't know which. But I thank the Lord for the relationship we have. It's not like other groups that do things. We are sent out directly by this church, not by any other organization, not by any other way. I respond to you. But on the other hand, you also respond to me. It works both ways. And that relationship has what allowed us to do some things that really, I think, God has put His hand upon it and blessed it. I was driving along this morning on the way to church, and I like to listen to the message being preached by First Baptist Church of Dallas, Dr. Robert Jeffers. And guess what they were talking about today? Missions, of all things. And they were talking about their projects. But he made a statement that made me shout at the radio. He said, "Our church is unique. There's only a few churches in the world that can do for missions the great things that we need to get done." And I almost shouted, "It doesn't work that way." Brother John just preached a message, sang a song, "Little as much as God is in it." And you know, a church like ours, we might not think that we're that large, but you know, we can do a lot more than we realize for the gospel around the world. It isn't the big churches that are getting it done, really, if you get really down to it. It's the small ones working together that are getting the gospel out around the world. And so therefore, we need to see that. And what I'd like to do today is look at some analogies that the Lord uses for churches and even compare it to ourselves. That's why I want to start out here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. A verse that a lot of us know by memory, but it talks about the importance of us presenting ourselves to God. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, what I'd like to talk about today is, if you are a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, why are you still here on the earth? Because really, it would be better if we were up in heaven. Heaven's a lot nicer than here. There's a lot less problems here. There's no sin there. It'd be a lot better if we're up there. But God says, "I'm not letting you go get up here yet. I've left you here on this earth." And we need to ask ourselves, well, why did you do that, God? Are you just leaving us here because you want to punish us? No, that's not the reason. He has a reason that is very important. A purpose. A charge. A task. A job. And the question every one of us should be asking ourselves is, are we fulfilling the task that God has given us? If we're not, then why are we here? God might as well take us on to heaven. And you know, sometimes God does that. To those that are not willing to serve Him, He says, "Son, if you're not willing to do it, just come on home." And that's not what we want. Now, there are instances in Scripture where that happened. I give you an example, Ananias and Sapphira, members of the first church at Jerusalem. God took them home because they lied to the Holy Spirit. God says, "Instead of helping me, you're hurting me. Come on home." But I'd like us to go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here at this church in Corinth. Now, if you have studied anything about the book of 1 Corinthians, it's one of the roughest books for a church in the whole Bible. This church had a lot of problems. And the Apostle Paul wrote them a scathing letter. And he let them have it for all the major problems, the sins that were in that church. There were members that were suing each other in court. There was moral sin of a heinous character here. You'd almost think, could that place be a church with all its problems? Well, it was. And look what he calls them here. And we'll start reading in verse 12 and go through verse 27. It's a bit long of a passage, but I think it's very important to set the foundation for the message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Now, it is talking to a church, and it's telling this church, you are a body, and within that body you have all these members, church, that's what we call them, church members, right from this verse. Every one of you that is a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church can identify yourselves with this verse. If you're not, maybe you ought to want to become one. Because it's a very important thing. The Church of the Lord was a mystery to the Old Testament Jews. They didn't understand this concept at all. So as the Lord began to reveal this mystery to the apostles and to the members of this New Testament churches, He tried to make them understand what this really was. And throughout the New Testament, He used several analogies, several comparisons to try to help people understand what a church was. And I won't take time to read all these, but for instance, in Ephesians chapter 5, He can compare the church to a bride or to the wife. Just like Christ was the husband, the church is the wife. And there in Ephesians chapter 5, He made that comparison. In Ephesians chapter 2, He compared the church to a temple, because they knew it very much understood that at that time. In Revelation chapter 21 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, He compared the church to a bride being prepared for her husband. But here in 1 Corinthians, He used the term a body. Now, it wasn't just only here in 1 Corinthians. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, we find that He used the same analogy here also. Colossians 1:18 says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." So what we're talking about today is bodies, basically. We need to present our bodies to the Lord, but as we present Him to the Lord, we become a part of another body, which is the church. And as we use this analogy, we begin to understand it more and more. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30, because it talks about the same thing here also. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. Because just as a husband and wife are considered one body and such as they get married, so does the church identify itself with Jesus Christ. Because here in Ephesians 5:30 says, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." So this relationship is a very intimate relationship. It's a very important one. And therefore, as we look at what we're going to be doing this week, as we find out the purpose of this church, because just as each individual Christian has a purpose to serve God, each individual church also has a purpose too. And we as a church are asking God, reveal to us, what are our goals? What are our ideas? What are we going to be doing for this next year to fulfill our existence as a church? And if we don't fulfill that, God might just take His church away. And that wouldn't be good. But it could happen. Now, let's look at some things about bodies, because I think it's really interesting as we get into this analogy. First of all, bodies are unique. No two people are alike, are they? Every body on this world, even though you might have twins even, they have some uniqueness to them. We are not made by God with a cookie cutter. Each one of us is very different. So it is with God's churches. I've been to thousands of them in my life. And I can tell you right now, no two are alike. Every single one has its own identity, its own character, its own personality. As we get together with individual bodies that we are, we also create an identity for our church. And those of you who are visiting with us, we hope you look at us and say, well, yeah, they're different. Well, we should be different. Every church is unique. And just like you get to know someone, a friend, you look at them and say, well, I like that one, or I don't like that one. It depends on that personality, how you click. You know, there are some people that God did not make to be part of our church. We realize that. But then there are others that God has prepared to be a part of our church. And we're asking God to bring those here. That's our idea. But in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it talks about this individuality. Here, this book that the Apostle Paul wrote to one of his young preachers, he was talking about this importance of how he might want us to be peculiar. He used that term, peculiar. Verse 14, Titus 2:14, says, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purifying Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good." That word peculiar means different. Set aside. Not like any other. And that's what God wants us to be. Different. I was in a church this past August in the state of Washington. And if you know anything about this church, their pastor is Brother Robert Sargent. He's from Australia. But he also is a man who loves words. Not only does he like to use a big vocabulary, he likes to create new words. And I was there walking through the church building. I saw a sign of a special pew that was reserved for women. And it says, "Reserved for ladies that are infanticipating." Now think about this again. Infanticipating. Or I don't even know how to pronounce it. The first part was infant, and the last part is anticipating. So you can get the idea of what they were doing. And I said, this would only happen at this church. It wouldn't work at Metropolitan. But every church is unique. It has its own personality. We have our own personality. And if people say, well, why aren't you like somebody else? We don't want to be like anybody else. God has designed us to be like we are. You know, we've already celebrated 91 years of existence since the birth of this church. You know, as you get older, you get more set in your ways, don't you? Well, I think we've been set in our ways. And sometimes, I know that when Brother Turner came to be a pastor of this church, we kind of let him know, Brother Turner, you come to a church that's been here for a long while. If you think you can change it a lot, you might be fooling yourself. Now, yes, he has an impact upon us, and we expect that. But we also realize that we had some definite goals even before he came here. And as we were studying, as we were interviewing him, we told him, these are our goals. If your goals are different, we're not interested in you being part of our church. There were some other men that also were considering part of this church, and we looked at them, and we immediately saw that their goals were different than our goals. Therefore, we could not consider them to be pastor of this church. Why? Because we are already set in our ways. There's another thing that we have to be very careful about if we're so unique. We have no right to compel other churches to be like us either. I'm going to go out and find churches that are different. Is just because they're different, are they wrong? No. If they want to do things a different way than we do, there's nothing wrong with that. Let's celebrate the individuality of God's churches. We don't believe in a universal church. We believe in local, unique churches. And if we do believe that, let's practice it. Recognizing that other churches will not be like us. They'll be different. There's another thing about bodies. They're constantly renewing themselves. You know, if you've ever studied biology, you know that you're composed of a lot of different things. I remember when I was in high school, I took my biology class, and you kids, you think you've got it rough? I was in Mexico. I had to take it in Spanish. But I had a good teacher. And we were studying one day all the issues of the human body, the tissues and everything else, all the cells that were making it up. And she was talking about how each difference, the cells were very different one from another. But she also said, all the cells have a limited lifespan. See, some cells don't last long at all, like the blood cells. They might last about 28 days. So your body is constantly producing new blood cells. When you stop doing that, you're going to be in trouble. That's called leukemia. But then there are other cells that last a little longer. But she made a statement that I'll never forget. She said, in a 7-year period, every single cell in your body is replaced. That means that you aren't what you are now, what you were 7 years ago. You have completely renewed every cell in your body in the last 7 years. Or if that's true of our physical bodies, you know it's true in the church also? There's not anyone here from when this church was organized 91 years ago. Today, we're mourning the loss of some members and families of members today. And we said, that's sad, but that's going to happen, folks. The question is, are we renewing ourselves constantly? Are we constantly providing new members? If we don't do that, what's going to happen? We're going to die. That's what happens as you age, when your body is not able to reproduce new cells. The end is death. We don't want to see that to happen to our church. We want to constantly be renewing ourselves. And it's not just in membership. It also even is in the renewing of our minds. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, it means that we need to constantly be looking so that we can know more about what God wants us to do. You know, you think people think, well, why do I always go to church? I hear the same thing sometimes. I already studied that verse. You realize that as a Christian, your mind needs to be renewed also? If you stop doing that, you as a Christian will die spiritually also. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Our mind is constantly being renewed by God. That's why we have to stay in the Word of God. That's why we have to spend time with Him in prayer. Because we have to beg God, renew my mind every day in what You would have me to do. In what You would have me to know. In the relationship. You know, my wife and I have been married now for over 35 years. We know quite a bit about each other. But you know something? I am always discovering something new about my wife. And I'm sure she is with me. There are some areas I really thought I knew that. And all of a sudden she surprises me. Well, what do you think about us and God? It should be the same way. We should be constantly being surprised by something new about God that we didn't know. just as he is also trying to always know about more about. You know, the purpose for him saving us is he wants to know us better. He wants to have fellowship. We had a Sunday school fellowship last night with our Sunday school class, the Friends in Faith. And Brother Mark was talking this morning during our classroom, Brother Mark Davis, and he said, you know, in our Sunday school class, we get together, we have our Bible lessons, we sing together, but you know, we really don't get to know each other. You know who we really get to know each other? In our fellowships. And that's the same thing between us and God. You know, God wants to know us. You think, well, He knows everything. No, but it's a different thing. He wants to know us in fellowship. Have a relationship with us. And that's what's very important. There's another thing about bodies. They get sick. Now, right now, everyone's really concerned about the Ebola crisis. Oh, we're all worried. Of course, this has been so close to us here, being in Dallas, all that's been going on. Now, I also knew about this a long time because I've been involved with missionaries and other things. My brother is involved in an organization there in North Carolina where he was actually knew that doctor that came over with Samaritan's Purse that recently was recovered and was here in Dallas giving the blood serum and stuff. But I've known about this Ebola situation for a long time, so it hasn't really surprised me. I've seen what's been going on. But here, those of us who live in America are beginning to see that it's finally affecting us directly. And we think, well, that's just way over there in Africa. That doesn't affect us. No, it's going to affect us all eventually. And that's why I think that sometimes we need to be careful of not having our heads in the sand when it comes to us as a church being involved in missions. Because whether we like it or not, we have to be involved in all those kind of things. And we want to. But one of the things that a church can also have a problem with is it can get sick also. It talks here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the schisms. Use the word schisms there in our King James Bible. You know what that means? Divisions. Conflicts. Now, I've been here, like I said, already for almost 35 years. Have I seen schisms in our church? Yes, I have. Have we gone? And even I've heard of stories before I became a member about difficult times that this church went through. We have had some times of being sick. Situations where we were basically hospitalized. We were on life support for a while. The church financially had went through a really rough time before Brother Hugh Atkinson came, as far as I understand. And you know, there's a time when it had great strength also. If you look at 90 years of ministry, there's a lot going on. But it's not just divisions. There's false doctrine sometimes. There's lack of discipline within the church. They're becoming lukewarm about the gospel, arrogant, indifferent. I can go on and on about the many different diseases that a church can have. And all those diseases can be dangerous. Just like they can even be terminal if you're not careful. We need to be very careful that we take care of the diseases in our church. There are preventative things you can do to avoid diseases. You can take vaccines. You can have a healthy lifestyle. You can be disciplined in what you do. You can be very careful with your hygiene. All those things. You know, a church has to do the very same thing. Sometimes we might criticize our pastor and our leadership because they can be pretty tough on situations. We have had to sometimes expel members. Why? Because we feel like they are having probably a false doctrine or moral problems. Other situations. And we think, you're being very tough. Well, we want a healthy church. I was one time in Honduras counseling another pastor, and he came to me and said, Brother, I've got a problem. He said, our church is really growing. God has blessed us, and we've got all these ministries, and things are going big. We're even starting a small Christian school and all these other things. And in the surrounding area, people are taking notice. In fact, they're taking notice to the point where a lot of people want to jump on the bandwagon, so to speak. They want to be a part of us. And he says, recently, there was a very small church here, not too far away from us, that was not a Baptist church. They were a Pentecostal church. They didn't believe like we did. Their practices weren't the same as ours. But they came to us and said, we would like to be a part of you. We want to join with you. And the pastor said, I'm concerned because I don't trust them. And he says, I don't know if I really want them to be a part of us because instead of helping us, I'm afraid they might bring in some things that we don't want. How do I solve this? I says, it's very easy. I says, we as Baptists have one thing that distinguishes us. It's the reason we were called Baptists, because even before we were called Baptists, we were called Anabaptists. Back in the Middle Ages, they called us Anabaptists. Why? Because it meant we were re-baptizers. That meant that if anyone from the Catholic Church got saved and wanted to become part of a Baptist church, what did they have to do? They had to be baptized properly. In other words, we don't accept what we call alien baptism. In other words, a baptism of another group that's not part of us. So if you want to become part of our church and you've been baptized properly, you have to become baptized. So I told him, I said, look, these people were not baptized by a Baptist church. You tell them, sure, if they all get rebaptized. And he said, okay. When he told them, I said, oh no, they said, that's too much. He says, see, solved your problem. You maintained your purity because of your standards. That's what a church has to do to keep itself healthy many times. But there's another thing about a body. This is not pretty, but we have to say it. All bodies die. Let's be honest. Do you think you live 200 years? If you get to be 100, we're lucky, right? You realize that no church lives forever either? You know that in the New Testament, there are 27 new churches that are New Testament local churches that are mentioned. Not a single one exists today. None of those local churches. You know that there are really very few churches in existence today that are over 200 or 300 years old. In fact, there's not too many that are over 100 years old. There's some, but it's not the norm. We are 91. And we're still strong and going. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. I would pray that the Lord will allow us to continue many more years. But I have to be honest with you. There will become a time when this church will die. You might not like me to say that, but it's going to happen. Why? Because I can look back at history and see that every single other local church has done the same thing. So the question isn't so much, are we going to die or not? We're going to. Just as an individual realizes you're not going to live forever, you ask yourself, that if I'm not going to live forever, then what's the purpose of me living? And that's what we started out with at the very beginning of this message. Why does God have you here? To fulfill a task that He has planned for each one of you. It can be very different. For some of us, it can be like myself, who stands before a congregation and preaches. But then there are others, as we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that have responsibilities that are not of honor. They're not that visible. They're behind the scenes, so to speak, but are just as important in God's eyes. We have people here that clean our restrooms. And they're just as important as the pastor of this church. Their ministry is just as vital. And whatever God has called us to do, we should do wholeheartedly, because it's part of the plan. Amen. But then the question we should ask is, if that's the truth for individuals as members of the church, it's also true for the church as a whole. What is the reason for the existence of Metropolitan Baptist Church? Is it a place for you to get together for fellowship? Well, that happens, but that's not its real goal. Is it a place so that people can admire us from afar and say, oh, God is really being blessed? Well, that does happen sometimes, but that's not really the primary goal. The primary goal of this church is to win the world for Christ. Amen. To fulfill what we call the Great Commission. And God will bless this church according to how it's fulfilling that responsibility. I can tell you right now that when I see churches die, you know where it started? When they lost their missionary vision. That was the first step toward the path of decay and death. And one of the things that my prayer is that we will never lose that vision here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. It is what gives us the life that we have. And if you think that the church has any other purpose than this, you're fooling yourself. We think, well, what about all the things we do here? The Sunday School, the Texas Theological University, all these other projects we have. All that is for one purpose, to reach the world for Christ. To prepare others to do it. It's not just the funding for it, it's also the workers. Now, I don't know if you realize, this church has 5 sponsored missionaries. You know what that means? Missionaries that are members of this church being sent out by this church to other parts of the world. 2 of us are here present today. 3 of them are out on the field today. But we'd like to have more. Do you realize that of the ordained preachers of this church, the majority are missionaries? That's what it should be. Yes, we have our pastor. He's the leader. But these other men are the ones that we send out. That's really why we exist. Have you ever asked yourself why you live here in America? Did you choose it before you were born? Now, some of you have been able to move here. I know Asim and Tina. God gave them the privilege. But they still had to have God do a miracle for them to allow to come here. Get the permission to come. We're thankful they're here. But even they, I would ask them, why does God have you here? There's a reason for it all. Was it by chance? I don't think it's by chance. Now, a lot of you might think, oh, going to another country, doing all these other things, oh, that's just too much. But if God puts you here, then you've got a reason for being here. You know, God could have put you in some other part of the world. You could have been born in Africa, in a place called Liberia. And right now facing a scourge, an epidemic. Or you could have been in parts of Latin America. Well, I grew up in Latin America where Catholicism is very strong. They practice penitence. Many years ago, I was during Easter week in a town called Taxco. Taxco is the silver capital of Mexico. A very beautiful old colonial town. Many tourists go there. But during Easter, the whole town becomes 3 or 4 times its normal size because everyone comes there to see these Catholic processions where these men do what they call penitence. What they do is one of two things. Some groups are called the encruzados. What they do is they're carrying huge bundles of blackberry thorns. A bundle about that big. Each thorn or each stalk is going to be about 6 or 7 feet long, and it weighs about 100 pounds. And they take off their shirt and put on their bare back and tie it on with horsehair ropes so it will bite into their skin these blackberry thorns and carry them in processions, supposedly trying to please God. Another group of men carry these special whips with a lot of nail points sticking out, and they will stop every once in a while and kneel, and they'll start beating their back. Now, I can show you pictures. I have pictures of it. I filmed a film on this. And in a little while, as they start beating their back, the blood starts to stream down their back. And as I got closer, I could see scars on the back from previous years that had done the same thing. Yes, so why would they do such a thing? They think that God will be pleased by this, but because of this, God will have mercy on them and not punish them for their sins. Now, you could have been born that way, with that belief. Or there are some cultures of the world, like in parts of Africa, where it is a curse if twins are born in the family. And therefore, the culture obligates you as a mother to take your newborn twins down to the riverbed where there's a lot of sand, and take those two children and scoop up a handful of sand and let it trickle between your fingers into the mouths of your children till they suffocate and die. And then you take those bodies and throw them in the river so the crocodiles can eat them. Now you think, that's horrible. Do you think that mother loves her children any less than you do? Of course not. But because of God's grace, He's allowed you to be here today. And it wasn't a mistake. God planned it. He has a purpose in it. And if you're not fulfilling that purpose, you're letting God down. You're letting yourself down. Another thing, if you don't do it, God will just say, well, why do I keep you here? Now, that's a very strong statement. But I do it intentionally. Because I found out that when we're fulfilling God's purpose, we will have the true joy that God wanted us to have here on this earth. We will have really the true understanding of what's really going on. You know, man is not happy until he has a purpose, a reason for living. There are many. Why does someone commit suicide? They've lost sight of why God gave them life. And since they've lost sight of that, they say, why should I continue living? But those of us who are Christians, we have not only the blessed hope, but also the blessed charge. You know, it's not a burden. It's a privilege. Scripture says that the angels wish to do what we have been given to do. And God says, no, I'm not going to let the angels do it. I'm going to let my children do it. So we don't look at it as a burden or a trial or something that's sad. No, quite the contrary. A privilege, an honor that God would choose us as weak, as inexperienced, as faulty as we are to take the gospel to our neighbor, to our neighborhood, to our town, to our city, county, state, nation, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Why are you not participating in that? Why are you not willing to get out there and do that? It's not just a case of your offering this week. It's a case of giving your body a living sacrifice. Father, we pray, even now, as we take this time of invitation, that you would make us understand the wonderful privilege we have of being called of you. And that every individual that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior has been called. Father, we know that there might be someone here that has not been saved and not doesn't even understand what we've said today because they can understand a calling such as this. May you press upon them their need of a Savior. But I pray, Father, for our brethren and sisters in Christ. Those that are maybe visiting with us, they might realize that you have a plan for them. But I especially pray for the members of Metropolitan Baptist Church that as we embark upon this week of emphasis on missions, may they think about their place in your plan, their membership in this body, and where you would have them to serve. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 351.
Page 351. If you'll please stand with me. 351. The altar is open. As the Lord leads as we sing this verse of invitation.